I'm glad that you're here today. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is where I'm going to be speaking from. Now, some of you were with us over the summer, and you know I was preaching through Hebrews chapter 11. You're like, wow, we spent a lot of time in Hebrews chapter 11. Well, we're kind of slow in Hebrews chapter 12, but I think there's some good points here. We spent a couple weeks all time in verse 1, and last week we were spending verse 2. This week we're going to be in verses 3 and 4, but I will let you know this. Next week I'm going 5 through 11, so if you're not ready for me to speed up, just be ready. I want to prepare you for that. Another thing that I want to mention has nothing to do with the sermon. All right, but before I get preaching, I want you to know that through gifts of you and other people, we are actually going to be expanding our parking. I'm trusting it's going to go this way, and so I don't know how you arrived and if you got to park in the mud or not. If you did, make sure you get your car washed somewhere along the way because it's pretty muddy, and we're trying to work on the landscaping around. So anyway, that's a great thing. So we'll expand our parking, and I know some of you that come to second service, you like wait for that parking spot to open. You're like, on the way here, you're like, okay, God, if we could have a parking spot, you know, that would be great. So we're going to expand some parking. And it's just a wonderful thing. I'm going to be speaking about Jesus' power today. And I want to start with this story. You may have heard this story before. If you haven't, then it's a good story, and if you have, it's a good story to hear again. There was a girl, and her name was Liz, and she was suffering from a rare, life-threatening disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother. The doctor explained the situation to the little brother and asked if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. He hesitated, but only for a moment, and then he took a deep breath and said, "Yes, I will do it if it will save her." As the transfusion progressed, the boy laid in the bed next to his sister and smiled. Her face responded as she had been sick, with color coming back to her cheeks. But then his face grew pale, and his smile faded. So the doctor looked and said, are you okay? And the little boy said this, "Will I start to die right away?" He was young and he misunderstood what was happening. He thought that him giving of his blood for his sister would mean that he would die, but his sister would have life. What a neat young man, and good to know that he didn't die, and neither did his sister, but he was willing to do that. This is a great sacrifice, a great picture of a sacrifice of a brother. And there's another one who is named Jesus, who willingly gave of his blood for your sin and for mine. I have great news for you. You didn't have to give of your blood. None of us did. But Jesus gave of his blood for us. Now, some of you should be very thankful for that because some of you, if you ever went in to give blood, you might collapse when you get up. Some of you faint a little bit when you see the sight of blood. Others of you are like, poke me away. It's no big deal. But let me tell you that you didn't have to give your blood, but Jesus gave his blood for you. And I wonder today, would you consider Christ and his power in your life today? Join me, if you would, in the reading of the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12 is where I'm going to be. I'm going to be reading verses 3 and 4. Maybe you brought your Bible. Maybe you'd like to watch on the screen. Maybe you brought a little gadget of some kind you can follow along. I will let you know that I saw a couple of your Bibles before preaching this message, before first service, and this is kind of like highlighted. These scriptures were highlighted in the Bible. Like, wow, okay, you must think these are good, and they're actually real good. So join me as we read God's word. Here's what it says in verse 3. "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." I want you, first of all, to see this. Consider Christ. Consider Jesus. Consider him. What does it mean to consider someone or something? I thought of this, of consider someone for a job. If you're an owner, if you have a job, you're considering somebody. Should I consider this person for a job? Or maybe you're looking for employment. Well, I'm considering looking at that job and seeing what it would look like. I wonder if you would consider Christ. It starts in a moment, but it can mean, oh, so much more. And consider what this passage is talking about. It's considering. When we consider something, we think about it. We ponder it. We reason about it. Maybe you've never considered Christ, or maybe you've never considered Christ in this way. Maybe you've just viewed Christ as an add-on. You just, well, yeah, I add Christ on every once in a while. This is good. Hey, buddy, Christ, how are we doing? This is good. Okay, and then Christ goes on, and you kind of live your own life. Consider Christ being Lord of your life. Would you consider making Christ Lord of your life today? Now, I have to tell you this. If you want Christ to be Lord of your life, which I think all of you should, you've got to understand that there's more to it than just considering. You've got to consider the cost. You've got to consider what that really means. I think many of you have considered that, but even when you think about that, it means a little deeper each time. Will I continue to walk with Christ? If you consider Christ and you make him Lord of your life, it will change your life. It can mean a change of friends. It also might mean a change of finances. It could mean a change of a lifestyle. And let me tell you this, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not for the weary or for the weak. I don't view that by any means. This is for the ones who are willing to change their lives for the life that laid it all down. Now, I want to say this. When you think about considering, are there any Chevy people in the congregation? You are a Chevy person. Thank you for being honest about that weird fact about you. Any Ford people in the room? Be careful now, Steve. You know, there's some good people that could be Ford people as well. Any Dodge people in the room? All right, all you Chevy. Let's say you're a Chevy person. Some of you hopefully will relate to this. And you think, you know, Chevy is the way to go. There's no other way. I mean, why would you get the fix or repair daily kind of deal? I mean, why would you do that, all right? Why would you get the Dodge, all right? You just wouldn't, there's just no, I mean, you don't even go to a Dodge dealership or a Ford dealership. You just don't do that. I mean, your Chevy vehicle goes to the Chevy dealership because that's where you go. But let's say that I found a really good reason why you should have a Dodge. I'd have to be a pretty good salesman, actually, for some of you, because you're like, no, I don't want to do that. That's how it is sometimes with our relationship with the Lord, and this is why I'm saying consider. Would you consider Christ in a different way or in a deeper way today? I'm not trying to sell you on a car by any means. You want to buy a Chevy, buy a Chevy. You don't, it doesn't matter to me. But I want you to consider Christ. There's some, this consider is an interesting word in Scripture. And so I found a couple of other places where consider was used in Scripture. Ecclesiastes 7:13, consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? Job 37, verse 14, stop and consider the wondrous work of God. I encourage you to do that. Maybe you should even write that down. Some of us live with our cups half empty instead of half full. Some of you don't even understand what half empty means. Some of you are like, life's grand. Life's always been grand, and grand is grand, and it's wonderful. But I tend to believe there's a couple of us in this room that we continue to look on the other side of things. And Job 37 says, stop and consider the wondrous works of God. I encourage you to look around you this week in just a different way. Consider what wonderful country we live in. Some of you can gaze out the windows and consider maybe a little bit of the Black Hills, or maybe you live right nestled in the hills. stop this week and consider the wondrous works of God. He is incredible. And by the way, that was written in the book of Job. And if you remember the book of Job, he had some tough things that went on in his life. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God. In Luke chapter 12, there's a couple of them. Those words, consider. Maybe you want to write this down. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Verse 27 of the same chapter. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. If God can take care of the ravens and the lilies, surely he can take care of us. Consider those things and how wonderful he is. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Consider how to spur up one another in love and good works. Would you be willing to consider Christ today? Maybe consider Christ in this way, in your work, in your marriage, in your relationship, in your sports, in your extracurricular activities. Consider Christ. Hear these words. In the greatness of his person as God, the Son of God, the heir of all things, and in his offices of prophet, priest, and king, as the Savior of lost sinners, the leader and commander of the people, as the apostle and high priest of our confession, consider him in his human nature, his conversation on earth, and what he did and suffered for men, how that in his nature was pure and holy, in his conversation harmless and innocent, in his deportment weak, meek and lowly, who went about doing good to the souls of men, and at last suffered and died, and is now glorified. Will you consider Jesus? A few years back, I had a poster that was about yay big by yay big, and it was one of those 3D posters. I don't know if you've ever seen these. Maybe you remember these from several years back, where when you look at the picture, it just looks kind of all jumbled, but then if you focus your eyes and play trick with your eyes, or sometimes they would like put it right at your face and then back away slowly. Do you remember those things? And when you look at them, some of you are going to be frustrated because you're like, I could never get those things. They were always so hard for me to get. I could never see them. But man, when you look back at them, you're like, whoa, how do they do that? That's way cool. So I have a picture up on the screen here today. Now, some of you are going to be like, well, I see the picture. It's a lady with a child in her arms. Well, yes, that's it. But if you can, actually, Pastor Bradley and I were looking at this back on the computer because I wanted to see if you could see it. And maybe you can today, but it's more than just what's there. It actually just cuts back in there somehow. And if you see it, you really see it. Maybe turn the lights down. I don't know. I couldn't see it. But I could see it back on the computer. Pastor Bradley couldn't see anything, by the way. So he's like, yeah, like really? Sure, like there's something there. But if you look at it, you see there's another picture within there. And the reason why I'm showing that, though you can't see this, and maybe you can go home and find one online and you can do it with your kids or whoever you want to do it with. When you consider crisis like that, you can see the picture, but then when you can focus your eyes in a different way, there is something that's up there behind there that you can see. Now, again, some of you are going to be frustrated because I didn't ever see it. But I wonder, would you be willing to consider Jesus? And I think it goes back to verse 2 where it says, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Going on to number 2. We can grow weary and faint-hearted. Can I get an amen on that one? Weary and faint-hearted. Now, there seems to be a choice. I wonder if you were weary this week. Were you faint-hearted this week? And I think there's a difference between the two. And so let's go with weariness first. I see weariness as the wearing down of something. Webster's dictionary says this. Weariness is physically or mentally exhausted by hard work, exertion, or strain, or characterized or causing fatigue, or impatient or dissatisfied with something. I wonder what causes you to be weary. I wonder if you found yourself all of a sudden coming in and you're weary in something. I want to encourage you, do not get weary. And we're going to talk about how you cannot do this. Now, let me just talk to the men for just a moment in the room. If you're a guy in the room, some of us guys are like, I never get weary. I've never been weary. I'm tough. I'm a man. And I'm not weary whatsoever. Let me just talk to you for just a moment. Last week, I talked a little bit about suicide and the terrible, terrible things of suicide. And as I was thinking about that, thinking about the message this week, I was thinking the three funerals that I have officiated for people who have taken their own life have been all males. And so here we may have a concept, well, I'm a man, I never get weary. I think that this applies for both males and for females. Now, that doesn't mean that females don't choose to do that. I understand that, but bear with me here. Some of us think, I'm tough. Okay, be tough. Be a tough man, be a tough woman. I don't care. But it affects us all that we can possibly be weary. Here's what it says in the book of Revelation. John is writing to the book of Ephesus in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and he says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. And he says this, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake and have not grown weary. He's saying, good job. You haven't grown weary, that you have endured. Good job. Galatians 6, verse 9 says this also, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we would not give up. Maybe you need to write that one down. Galatians 6, 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Somebody needs to hear that today. Don't give up. Don't become weary. Keep going. When you are weary, don't forget to consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Now back to Revelation. In John chapter 2, a little later on, it says, John says that though they have not grown weary, they've lost their first love. And so maybe you've not grown weary, but you've lost your first love. Why do we love what we love? But sometimes we get pretty weary. So what are you weary about today? Consider Jesus because of what he has went through. I want you to know this isn't just positive self-talk. Let's go out of here. Let's all be happy, happy, happy. No, this is going back to consider him. This is what the scripture says. Consider him. Consider Jesus so that you may not grow weary. There's an option here. What causes us to grow weary? Here are some responses. Loss of perspective. Something chronic. If you have something chronic in your life, that causes you weariness. And you know that. And you're like, boy, how do I not? Wow. Look to Jesus. Failures can cause you to grow weary. Wrong timing. Loneliness. Taking your eyes off Jesus. Some rubble. World catastrophes. When life seems to gang up on you, political leaders yelling at one another can cause you to grow weary. When you forget who's in control, maybe you have been dealing with constant pain. If you deal with constant pain, that can cause you to grow weary. Or chaos. Or maybe you've lost parents just months apart. Or sin and separation from God. Many things can cause you to grow weary. But he doesn't stop there. Let us not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, faint-hearted in other translations is defined this way. Lose heart, fainting in your souls, give up, or discouraged in your souls. I think that's the best one. Do not grow weary or discouraged in your souls. The idea of the race is still here from the author. If you look up in verses 1 and 2, we're supposed to lay aside every weight and sin and run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this is why I view weariness and faint-heartedness a little differently. If you don't know, I kind of run every once in a while, a couple days a week. I go for a run. And there's difference between being weary running and fainting as a runner. There's a couple of runners in the room that are going to identify with this, I think. And there's something about being weary. When you're weary when you're running, you're like, I'm really tired, but you keep pushing on. Or if you need to, you walk for a little bit, or you just stop and you take a break, and then you keep going because you're weary. Or you run by the drink stand, you're like, give me something that will give me something extra here. Give me the extra double-double because I need that. That means you're weary. But faint-hearted means something totally different. I don't know about you, but I like to watch races on TV. I like watching car races. I like watching foot races. It's kind of fun. Maybe you don't like doing that at all. Actually, I went to a cross-country meet, and there was a couple young ladies in the room that I watched this week. There's something, because you just watch the element. Well, I was watching a race one time on TV, and it was for a marathon, and I believe that there were three women, and they were out ahead of everybody else. And they were talking about how hot it was and how whatever was happening. And these three ladies were in front. And you just see them, you know, just running beside each other. And you're just kind of, you weren't. But I was just watching them. Well, all of a sudden, one of those ladies kind of fell back a little bit. And I was like, oh, bummer, you know, because you kind of want to, somebody's got to win. Somebody's not going to win. But that third or fourth one, whatever one, she was running. And then as you're watching her, all of a sudden, she starts getting a little wobbly. And then all of a sudden, bam, she passes out. I'm like, that's not good. I hope some medics come and help her. You can be weary and you can faint. So hear me in this. There's something about when you become weary of things where it just gets tough. And there's times when we lose heart, when we have a faint heart, when we get discouraged in our souls. That's different. If you're there this morning and you're finding yourself discouraged in your soul, that's way different than just being weary. But here's what you need to do. It goes backwards. Consider Him. Consider Christ. He is the one who endured hostility for you. We can grow weary, and sometimes we can get very faint-hearted. We can crash. Trust in Jesus. There's a Southern Gospel song. I like Southern Gospel. I don't know if you do or not, but I like Southern Gospel. And this is an old song, and there's what it says. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and He will answer by and by. It's really good when you have a good bass, by the way, for this song. Now, when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, then you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Find the time with Jesus. Here's something that's very important about running. You need to stay hydrated. If you lose your hydration, then you lose your energy, and you have to stay hydrated. Isn't that interesting when you can relate it to the spiritual life as well? You have to stay hydrated by God's Word. If you're not in God's Word, you need to be there. This is the living water for you and for I. Jesus is the living water for us, and I encourage you to stay hydrated, or you will feel weary, or you will faint. Now, some of you are in the room and you're like, I'm doing great today. I'm not weary. I'm not faint-hearted. I'm really ready to go here. So listen to me on this. This is for you. There is somebody around you somewhere, trust me, and if you don't believe me, just start opening your eyes, who is weary or faint-hearted, who is being discouraged in their souls. And so you need to write down Galatians 6:9 or Luke 12 or some other scripture that you can find, and you need to send them a note. You need to call them on the phone. You need to say, would you consider Jesus? I don't know if they will or not, but there's somebody that's around you. If you're one of those, I'm not weary. I'm not faint-hearted. Great. Praise the Lord for that. You should leave this morning saying, wow, this is good. That wasn't the message for me today. I'm doing great. But there might be somebody, even in the sanctuary here this morning, as you look around, you might say, you know, there seems to be a weight that's there for them. They seem to be faint-hearted today. They seem to be weary. And I want to encourage you, you have the opportunity to say, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Number three, we struggle with sin. Now, some of you in the room are like, hold on here just a second. Can't we be free from sin? Yes. And there's a whole theological debate about this. But hear me in this. I think we struggle with sin personally. I think we struggle with sin as a church. I think we struggle with sin as a society. I think we struggle with sin as a nation. I think we struggle with sin as a whole world. Let me explain. If somebody over here sins, it affects all of the church. If somebody over here sins, it affects all of the church. We have sins that are in Rapid City that affect us in Rapid City. They do. and you deal with that. We have sins that are happening in our world that affect us. See, we struggle against sin. How are you doing with sin? Are you winning? With God's help, you can win the struggle. God can help you, and he is willing to help you. And number four, you did not struggle with sin like Christ. We struggle, and I am thankful that you struggle. If you did not struggle, you know what would happen? You just give up and you just be faint-hearted and gunk. You wouldn't even be in the race anymore. But no, you're willing to stay in the race. You have not stopped. Keep going. But even in your struggling, you have not had to deal with things like Jesus did. He had to give his blood. He had to give his life. He shed his blood for us. I kind of think Jesus and us is kind of like an owner and an employee. Now, this is in the perfect world. But in the perfect world, here's what happens. The owner shows up probably about a half an hour to an hour before time starts. Why? To get everything ready. And then the owner works with the employees all day long. And then at 5 o'clock, guess what happens? The employees say, thanks, appreciate it, I'm going home. But the owner stays around because he wants to make sure everything is closed up. And so the owner is before, during, and after. Now, I understand not every owner, not every boss is like that. I get it, okay? But in a perfect world, that's how I see it happening because they have investment in that. You understand that, some of you, because you've shown up early for some things at time, and then you've been there all the way through, and then you kind of find yourself at the end of the day like, huh, well, I'm glad I'm still here. Where'd everybody else go? Well, I guess I'm the owner. Or I'm the one in charge. The owner does something different. That's who Jesus was. He was before, he's during, and he's after, and he shed his blood for you and for me. This was possibly written to these individuals, letting them know that no one had been a martyr. And he gave up the glory that was his. He came into all the narrowness of the life of humanity, and he faced the hostility of men. In the end, he had to die upon a cross. Would you consider Christ and his power as a way of help to you today? Because we all deal with sin, and we all have the possibility of growing weary and getting faint-hearted. Hear the words of this song. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed way, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be. I have one more verse for you, because some of us understand this, and so this is a parting verse. Aiden, can you put that verse up, please? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 31. Hear this. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Stand with me, please. I would like to pray for you. Feel free to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you'd like to come and you'd like to kneel at the altar because God's been speaking to you about something and you're just weary, know that the altar is open for you today. Lord Jesus, as we close the end of this service today, I just think of the man that's in the room. I think the woman in the room. I think the young man in the room, the young lady in the room who have just felt weary and they found themselves here today. I pray, God, that as they leave, they would consider you and they would say yes to you and they would not grow weary. And if they found themselves feeling weary, they would say, yes, I can jump up out of this because God is with me. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bring somebody out of weariness just even right now. It's been a tough go, and you know exactly what they're going through. Thank you that they have not had to deal with as much as you did, and yet you persevered. And so thank you for being our Savior and helping us in that way. There may be somebody here this morning, Lord, who's been faint-hearted. They've lost heart, or they've been discouraged in their souls. I pray that even right now, you would just rekindle that flame in their life, and that they would rise up, and they would be someone different as they leave from here today. And I pray that you would hydrate them with your power and your presence. I pray for somebody here today. Would they consider you? Maybe they've never thought of considering you in a relationship with you. And I pray that as they leave today, they would consider, and you wouldn't let that leave from them all this week, that they would consider. What does that mean? May they consider you, and may someone consider you today as Savior and Lord instead of just an add-on, but they would say yes to you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the shedding of your blood. Thank you that if we believe in our heart and are confessed with our mouth that you are Lord, that we will be saved. And so we praise your name in that way today. Lord Jesus, thank you for the individuals in this room who will leave from this room and who will go encourage somebody who is weary or faint-hearted. Give them the encouragement, give them the ability to share at just the right time. Lord Jesus, may we be ones that do not grow weary or faint-hearted because we consider you and what you have done. I pray that you would go before us this day, this Sunday, a day of rest. May we find completeness and wholeness in you. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and that you would guide each step, each movement, each thought, each action, and may we be glorifying to you in all we say and we do. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.